Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor BJ Stockstill now.
All right. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, it says, "It was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested." Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Tests in life are going to happen. They're going to happen. And we need to know that we have weaknesses, and we are called to overcome them, not make excuses for them. You can make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't make both. And so we are called to overcome our weaknesses. That's why we're tested. It's in our weakness that he showed strong, right? It's in our weakness. So tonight we are on the 8th test in our series of tests. So tonight is the frustration test. The frustration test. Anyone ever get frustrated? Yes. Frustrated. It happens. You ever play card games, board games, anything like that that's just frustrating? Catchphrase. You know, you get toward the end of that thing beeping and you can't even spit the words out of your mouth because you're getting so frustration, right? Frustrated. Phase 10. That will cause a divorce. Like, I thought we were going to get a divorce after catchphrase. Or not catchphrase, phase 10, I'm sorry. Monopoly. I've heard some stories of Monopoly wreaking havoc upon families. Specifically the Ellison family. I think Josh is pretty ruthless when it comes to Monopoly. The game Sorry. I mean, did you know that the game Sorry was originally called Frustration? I mean, it just kind of speaks for itself. Chutes and Ladders. I hate that game. Just when you think you're doing good, shoot. What about driving? I mean, driving causes frustration, or maybe not your driving, but other people's driving can get frustrated really quick. People pull out, I mean, not a car for miles, and you're 55 miles an hour down the road, and somebody pulls out right in front of you. Come on. Could you not wait till, I mean, frustration. Hobbies. I mean, anybody play golf or attempt to play golf? I mean, golf can frustrate me to no end. Hunting can be frustrating. Video games can be frustrating. I have thrown many controllers. Never through a TV, but I have thrown controllers. Did you know if we're not careful, social media can make us frustrated? Facebook can cause frustration. And here's why. This is just kind of off topic, but whatever. Social media and Facebook is everybody else's highlight reel. Did you ever think about that? I mean, you don't post a picture, most people don't post a picture on Facebook until it's perfect. Or it's that perfect opportunity, that perfect moment, that perfect plate of food, that perfect smile that your kid gave, that perfect, you don't post a picture on Facebook unless your house is clean, right? I mean, it's everybody else's highlight reel. And if you're not careful on Facebook, you start getting really frustrated. Well, their life looks perfect and mine's over here in this big jumbled mess and the frustration test. All of life, we'll face frustrations. What about decision making? Come on, married couples, making decisions. Where are we going to eat? Frustration test. Where are we going to eat at? I don't care. Anywhere's fine. All right, let's go here. Well, not there. That happens more with me than it does with her. She was about to say that too. Maybe even today you've been frustrated about something. First thing this morning, I had a fresh cup of coffee and a white t-shirt driving down the road. And what do you know? I take the lid off to take a drink and right down the front. White shirt, coffee, frustration test, right? I mean, if somebody had seen me, like if somebody was outside as I was driving by, they probably would have thought I was having some kind of seizure or something because I was yelling at myself and, what were you thinking? Take the lid off while you're driving. Anyway. A couple days ago, we were at home having dinner. We actually had breakfast for dinner. You guys ever do that? I love breakfast for dinner. We had some fresh sausage off of a farm of one of my cousins, and just melt in your mouth sausage. I mean, good sausage. And our daughter has this, she's not like me. She eats very slowly and takes very small bites, and has this, it's not that she won't eat food, but if textures are weird or she'll say she doesn't like something if she hasn't tried it. Most kids probably go through that or do that. And so she ate a waffle and life was great. And then we said, here, you need to eat a little bit of eggs and a little bit of sausage. And so she ate her eggs, no problem. Well, just two little pieces of sausage. Here, Jolynn, eat these pieces of sausage so you can get up. Well, I don't want it. I won't like it. Well, yeah, you will. Just try it. It'll be fine. She puts it in her mouth and goes through the whole drama thing. And, you know, it's gross. It's not, she's going to spit it out. But the whole time she's chewing it, it's not really, long story short, we get through this and it's bath time. It's bath time and the kids have had a hard day and we put them in the bath and, you know, 5-10 minutes goes by. I go in the bathroom with McKinley and the kids and I look at Jolynn and she's sitting there just chewing, still chewing. And I was like, I said, Jolynn, are you still chewing? She said, yeah. I just kept chewing. I said, is that still the sausage that you ate? She said, yeah. I said, honey, you need to swallow that. You need to swallow it. You're going to drop it out of your mouth or something. And so she's like, well, okay. And so she continued to just chew. And I said, swallow. And she gulped and went to swallow. And she kind of gagged. And then all of a sudden, every bit of breakfast that she ate for dinner, all over the bathtub, all over my shoes, all over the floor. Her brother was in the bathtub with her. So we're scrambling, grabbing him out of the bathtub, and he was already had been washed and it didn't get on him, so we got him out real quick. Well, Jolynn now has to take a shower, third bath of the day, and you know, McKinley comes back from the shower and she's like, I got to clean the bathtub. This is the third time I've had to clean the bathtub in the last 2 days because yesterday your son pooped in the bathtub and now I've got frustration test. If you have kids or have had kids, you know the frustration test. Man, here's some things that we need to know about frustration. It always comes at a bad time. Frustration never comes in an opportune moment. In fact, that's kind of the nature of frustration, right? Like this doesn't need to happen right now. Everyone who tries to accomplish something will face frustration. If you're trying to accomplish anything in life, you at some point will go through frustration. And the thing is, the more effort that you give to trying to accomplish something, the greater the frustration will be. The more effort you put into a task, the greater the possibility of frustration becomes, the greater that frustration will be. Frustration in a situation should never be the end result. It should never be the ending result, but it should be a step toward accomplishing a goal. So many times we are trying to accomplish something and frustration happens and we just stop and we give up and frustration has become the ending result instead of what we set out to do or what we were called to do, what our purpose was, and if we don't watch it, it will be the ending result of something rather than what God's purpose may have been. Frustration is an emotion. It's an emotion that happens when we are blocked from reaching a personal goal. The more important the goal, the greater the frustration. Frustration is caused when the results that you're experiencing don't seem to fit the effort and action that you put into it. A little simpler way of saying it, frustration will happen when your actions are producing less and fewer results than you think they should. That's why golf is so frustrating to me. Because the effort that I'm putting into this golf game, I should be shooting 7 under. But it's more like 70 over. If you understand golf, that makes sense to you. But see, the effort I'm putting into hunting, the effort that I put into hunting, the results should be much better than they are. And if I'm not careful, it can be frustrating. And I can let that stop me from enjoying something that God has allowed for me. Video games. Okay, football. I don't really play much video games anymore, but when I did, it was mainly sports, football games with the controller. And I could be smoking somebody, just beating them into tarnation. It's 50-0, and they kick a field goal in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left, and I am ticked because the effort that I'm putting into this should be greater than what just happened. So frustration happens. It happens when your actions are producing less and fewer results than you think that they should. Life is full of frustrations, from the very minor, irritating things like losing your wallet, losing your keys or misplacing them, to, you know, you can't find your phone, you can't find the remote control, you can't find your glasses, you know, those minor, irritating things, and they go all the way to big, major things that cause serious anxiety, like failure toward a financial goal. You know, you think you've got this figured out. Your finances are working. Everything's going great. You get up here, and then all of a sudden something happens, and you failed again, and you overdrew your bank account again, or your marriage. You think you have it figured out, and the next thing you know, something blows. So from very small things to very large things, we face frustration. Life is full of it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul here is, he's frustrated with some of these false apostles and teachers. He's frustrated, and in verse 23, he's been rambling on about, not rambling, Paul wasn't rambling, he wrote this letter, and he was talking about how they were boasting about some things, and they kind of had their motives out of order and their priorities out of order, and this is what Paul comes in and says. He says, I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I've faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling the weakness? Who is led astray and do I not burn with anger? If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows I'm not lying. And he goes on and he's talking about different circumstances and different things happening in his life that he's had to deal with. Sounds like a pretty rough go. But can you sense his frustration? He's like, hey, you ain't got nothing, boy. You can't touch what I've been through. He says all of these things that would be frustrating to me. And he goes on to say later, that God had placed a thorn in his side or a thorn in his flesh to keep him humble so that he would be the man that God had called him to be. And so oftentimes, frustration in our life, here's what it is. Frustrations can be a way for God to reorder some priorities. Frustration can make you go, you know what? Maybe I've got some things out of line here. Maybe there's something that I need to look at here. Maybe something that I need to adjust. And here's the deal. God will use those things that happen to guide us where he wants us to go. Does God cause a storm? No. Does God tempt us? No. The Bible says he doesn't. But he will test us and allow us to go through things so that we can see for ourselves, you know what? Maybe I'm not as big a boy as I thought I was. Maybe I need to bring some things down to earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Now, Paul's in the middle of all this junk. We're kind of going back. He's in the middle of all this stuff happening to him. And listen to what he says here. I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had written, talked about when he said, 'I believed in God, so I spoke.' We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles that we can see now, but we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." In the middle of frustration, these are Paul's words. He had a way of seeing his circumstances and frustration. He had a way of doing this that caused him to take a stance of faith. He took a stance and said, you know what? I mean, faith it's exactly what he stood in his faith and said, you know what? Regardless of all of this, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing because it's worth it. The eternal prize is worth it. These present troubles are small and don't last very long. So what? They throw me in prison. Well, me personally, I don't want to go to prison. But Paul's like, so what? Small, not a big deal. Won't last very long. See, his stance of faith allowed God to make him the man that God had called him to be and to fulfill the purpose and destiny that God had on his life. So in his stance, God was able to take him further. But all of those shipwrecks, all of those stonings, all the beatings, all the whippings, all of those frustrations could have really made Paul give up and quit. I know I would have been really tempted if I was in Paul's shoes. All right, God, forget this. I'm here trying to serve you and live for you and do heck with all this. God called me out here to serve him, and I'm done with that. But that's not what Paul did. That's not the stance that Paul took. He did not allow frustration to win. He didn't allow frustration to win. And that's where we need to be. Frustration cannot win in our lives. There are some dangers of frustration winning that I want to talk about. We're going to go through a few things here. Frustrating problems are incredibly energy consuming. When frustration wins in your life, it consumes a lot of energy. It's hard to live frustrated. It takes a lot out of you. I mean, I just see people who I know who I've never seen deal with frustration. You want to know who they are? They're the people with the most energy. People who are always negative, people who are fighting frustration and living frustrated, they are the most lethargic, slow, Eeyore symptom people I've ever seen in my life. Frustration and letting frustration win in your life consumes energy. Frustration can also lead to obsession. Letting frustration win in your life can lead you to obsess about things that you have no control over. There are things in life that you can't do a dadgum thing about. And you can't let frustration win there. I can't believe I just said dadgum from the pulpit. Southwest Missouri. But living frustrated will cause you to become obsessed with things that you shouldn't be. See, you can live, when you understand that there are things I can't do anything about, there's a freedom that comes with that. And when you say, all right, I can't do anything about that, forget it, move on. I mean, I think Ashley has possibly talked about this before, but you personally can't do anything about the President of the United States. So move on. He's our president. I'm thankful in this scenario, but get over it. There's nothing you personally can do about it except for get out and vote next time. All these people living frustrated, but never Trump, all this. You're not going to do anything about it. Let it go and move on. Quit obsessing about it. Some effects. There were some dangers. There's obviously, this isn't an all-inclusive list. There are many, many things that come with this. But some effects of letting frustration win in your life. Frustration leads to bad decisions, which only makes problems worse. When you let frustration win in your life, you make bad decisions because you're making decisions based on being frustrated instead of based on the word or based on what God said or based on what is right. It's because you're frustrated. And when you do that, it can cause some serious issues. When you're frustrated in your marriage, you'll make bad decisions. You'll say the wrong thing. When you live frustrated and you don't go about things the right way, you're going to say something wrong, and it's only going to make the problem worse. When all she needs for you to do is listen and not fix a problem, that's all you got to do. You can't let frustration win. You know you have the answer. You can fix that. If she would just listen to what you said, it would fix everything, except for it would just cause frustration. Or you're being frustrated by something and you need to say, you know what? It's not that big a deal. Frustration at work, you just go ahead and live frustrated. Eventually, you're going to tell your boss off. Eventually, you're going to tell your coworker off. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get fired and you're going to go to another job and you're going to get frustrated by somebody and you're eventually going to tell them off. And the next thing you know, you can't keep a job because you're making bad decisions because you're living frustrated. We can do better. Frustration at church. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. Somebody didn't do something. You got a little frustrated. You let it win. What happens? The next thing you know, you're offended. You let it get down in there. Well, nothing I can do about it. We just can't. Nope. make a bad decision, hop to another church. Next thing you know, you're frustrated, leaving that church, going. Effects of letting frustration win are dangerous. Frustration keeps you from advancing. You can't move forward when all you are is frustrated. Frustration sends you back. You're never able to move forward if you live frustrated. Frustration limits perceptions. Frustration limits your vision. It limits what you see. You're not able to see a big picture when you live frustrated. All you can focus on is what's right in front of you and how somebody wronged you, or how. Do you see how these things, how frustration affects our lives, and how we can't live frustrated, and we can't let frustration win? Okay, so why the frustration test? Why does God allow us to do this? Well, hopefully it's becoming obvious why he lets us go through this. Frustration reveals character problems, character flaws. How many times when you're all by yourself and somebody has frustrated you and you've let it get you, and there ain't nobody else around, and you just let them have it like they were standing there in front of you? You ever done that? Because you're frustrated? That's your character. That's your true character. When nobody else is around and you're all by yourself, that's character. And I got to tell you, character matters. And when you're frustrated, it reveals problems in your character. Frustration, it reveals the need for patience. We all could probably use some more patience. But frustration, you get frustrated about something and it just things just don't go fast enough. Cars don't go fast enough in front of you. Whatever it is, patience. Your kids, they don't eat fast enough. They don't chew fast enough. They don't eat enough. They don't get dressed fast enough. Get your shoes and socks on. Come on, let's get out the door. It reveals a need for patience. Frustration reveals if we're really submitted to God or not. If we're really submitted to God and we're really walking out what he's called us to, then frustration isn't an issue for us because we understand that we're walking in his will. Frustration reveals the need of trust in him. Frustration reveals a need of humility. Frustration reveals the need of God's direction. God, I need your direction in my life. I don't know it all. I need your direction and I need you to point me. I need you to show me. I need your revelation. See, frustration reveals that to us. So how do we handle it? How do we handle frustration? Because it's going to come. It's going to happen. We will face the frustration test. The first thing we have to do is realize that difficulties are going to happen. Job, if you know anything about Job, you understand he understands difficulties and frustration. Job 14:1 says, "As for man, the son of woman, his days are short and full of trouble." It kind of sums it up. It's called life. Deal with it. Life happens. It's the way it is. Get over it. See, here's what we do. Life happens, frustration comes, and we whine. We complain. Well, I don't know why they have to be that way. And complaining is draining. You ever been around somebody like that? It's just so draining. Like you can't. It takes everything out of you to be around people like that. And people who feel sorry for themselves usually find themselves around people who feel sorry for themselves. And so the next thing you know is you have this big cry, pity party going on. And God doesn't attend pity parties. Let me just say that. He doesn't have any interest in your pity party. What he has interest in is you saying, "You know what, God? I need you. You are my sustainer. It don't have anything to do with me. It doesn't have anything to do with what happened over here. I need you." And that's when God is interested. He doesn't care about you whining about all the stuff that you brought on yourself. God cares about you and he loves you and he doesn't want you to have problems. Let me say that. But frustrated living often leads to depression and those pity parties. See, Frustration is such a bigger deal. Frustration is part of offense, and it's part of depression, and it's part of this woe is me mentality and attitude. We've got to get over it. So how we handle it? We realize that it's going to happen. We determine the cause of our frustration. This is big. Is the problem external or is the problem internal? Because there's two different things here that can happen. Internal sources of frustration involve personal deficiencies, like lack of confidence or fear of social situations or lacking spiritual maturity, and those things prevent us from reaching goals. They prevent us from moving forward. Those would be internal sources of frustration. External sources would be conditions outside of ourselves, like an actual physical obstacle or lack of money or whatever, etc. Lack of other things, other resources. So is the cause internal or external? And can I do anything to change the outcome? If not, don't try. It will only add to the frustration. If you're trying to fix something that you can do nothing about, then it's only going to make you more frustrated. So we've got to realize external, most of the time, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. Most of the time. Sometimes there is. But internal, there's always something we can do about an internal frustration. Now, it takes the blood of Jesus, and it takes some repentance, and it takes some time spent with Jesus. But internal frustration can always be overcome. So the third thing then is we need to seek the counsel of God. Dealing with frustration. How do we do this? How do we handle it? You seek the counsel of God and you listen. You listen. If God speaks to you when you ask him, God, what's your counsel? How do I need to handle this situation? This got me frustrated. I'm not going to let it win. How do I handle this? And he says, go to so-and-so and do whatever. You better do it. Because if just knowing that that's what you need to do isn't going to fix anything. It will only make your frustration worse if you don't listen. To know what to do and not just really cause some issues. So number four, associated with that, do what you can and leave the rest to God. If you have some things frustrating you that you can do nothing about, leave it to God. God, I can't do anything about this. Please help. Please help me. Reveal to me if there is something I can do, reveal it to me. If not, please take this. Or if this is a thorn in my side, keeps me humble, let me just link arms with it and let's go kick some devil butt. Let's go get some people saved. I don't know. If there's nothing I can do about this, then I'm just going to deal with it and I'm going to keep trucking. Because I'm not going to let frustration win in my life. See, do what you can and leave the rest to God. And then number five, remember that this frustration will pass. This frustration test will pass. It will go away. So how we handle frustrations determines who we are and where we're going. How we handle frustrations reveals our maturity. How we handle frustrations reveals the level at which we can lead. Did you know that? How you handle frustrations determines the level that you can lead. Your ability to lead is related to your ability to stand frustration. Your future, your successes, and your leadership depends on you passing the frustration test. We have to pass the frustration test. Now, I want to close with this. Frustration wins when there is a lack of focus. Lack of focus comes from not feeding on the right things. When frustration wins, we need forgiveness through Jesus. Then, when we've received forgiveness, we need to feed on the word, which brings our focus back into place. And when our focus is right, we can win over frustration. Amen? Amen. Y'all stand with me tonight.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.